prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper today, I want us to look at a theme that we see in the Gospels, and that is the innocence of Jesus. I don't know if you ever notice as you read through the Gospel how many times, especially as Jesus is being treated and condemned as a criminal, that there are many voices that proclaim his innocence. For example, Pilate says that Jesus is innocent three times during his trials. In John chapter 18, verses 38 through 40, it says, when he has said this, he went out after interrogating Jesus. He went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I'll release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews? But they cried out again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. But Barabbas was a robber or a thief. Pilate, after interrogating Jesus and spending some time with him, quickly realizes that this man is innocent, that he hasn't done anything wrong. And I really believe that Pilate wants to release Jesus. So he puts him next to this man named Barabbas, who was a robber, who was a thief, who was a murderer. And I really honestly think this, that when Pilate says, who do you want me to release? That Pilate is thinking, they're going to say Jesus. But they hate Jesus so much that they prefer for a guilty man to be released than an innocent man to be out. Look at John 19, verse 6. Jesus, Pilate again, after scourging Jesus, says, so when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate just wanted to punish him, in a sense, and release him. But these individuals want him to crucify him. And Pilate says again, take him out yourself and crucify him. For I find no guilt in him. Pilate again proclaims the innocence of Jesus. And perhaps the most famous one where Pilate proclaims Jesus is innocent is when it's found in Matthew 27, 24. When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water, washed his hand in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See that to yourself. And all the people said, his blood shall be on us and on his children. Pilate wants nothing to do with the death of this man because he knows that Jesus is an innocent man. So Pilate proclaims the innocence of Jesus. Well, do you remember Pilate's wife proclaim the innocence of Jesus? In Matthew 27, verse 19, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent a message to him saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. Can you imagine that being Pilate and your wife says to you, have nothing to do with this righteous man because I had a dream about him last night? So his wife proclaims his innocence. Judas, who had betrayed Jesus and who has spent time with Jesus, 3 years. He said when he brought the money back to the religious leaders, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. You remember the thief on the cross as well too? After he has a change of mind, and he realizes, this man is totally different than we are. In Luke 23, 41, he said, we indeed are suffering justly, the thief speaking, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. The thief on the cross proclaims Jesus innocent. And even when Jesus dies, in Luke 23, 47, the centurion says, now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. Why so much emphasis on the innocence of Jesus as he is being crucified, as he's being condemned as a criminal. I think there are two things God wants us to see here. Number one, that was what was needed for our sins to be forgiven. That lamb had to be spotless. That lamb had to be innocent. That lamb had to be perfect in order for our sins to be atoned for. And Jesus is saying, God is saying, by proclaiming the innocence of Jesus through the gospel, that Jesus is innocent. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But probably the most important message here is this, that Jesus is not dying for anything he has done wrong. He is innocent, but we are guilty. And let me tell you something, another study for you to do on your own is how everybody looks around the cross of Jesus. Everybody looks guilty. Everybody does not do what is right. Do you remember? Judas betrays him. The apostles run away. The most loyal disciple, denies him three times. The religious leaders look corrupt. Pilate looks weak. The question is, who is doing what is right? Humanity is guilty and sinful. And Jesus is not dying for anything he is doing. He is dying for our sins. So why does a innocent man have to die? What is the plan of God? He is carrying our sins. He is bearing our sins on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, "Surely our grief he himself bore, and our sorrow he carried. Yet we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastising of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." So what do we remember the first day of the week? We remember that we are guilty, that we ran away, that we betray, and that the innocent Jesus died on our behalf so that the guilty can be let free. That's what we remember as we partake of the Lord's Supper. The men who are serving can serve the supper.